From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of April, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vay. She's with Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. Drew Lerner will help us wrap up our time together to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And along the way, we'll talk with Greg Johnson of TGM. That's Total Grain Marketing from right here in Champaign County about the cash grain situation on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, May corn today in Chicago settled at $7.83.5. That was up 7.25. July at $7.78, 5.5 higher. In December, $7.35.75, 4.75 of a cent higher. May soybeans managed to gain, finished on the day up 5.75 at $16.76. July, $16.65, up 4.5. November, though, however, down a penny and a quarter at $15.75 of a cent. Bean meal futures in the May at $4.58.20, down 2.70. The bean oil at $78.11, $2.68 higher. Wheat futures soft red July harvest month at 8.75 higher at $11.21.25. The settlement price there. The hard red at $11.78. It finished 11.25 higher as well. Live cattle futures at $136.87.5 in the June, 57.5 higher. Feeders were up $1.02.5 in the May at $161.95, and lean hogs at $117.60 in the June, down 87.5 cents for the afternoon. Crude oil at $103.95, that's up $3.40 for the day. The diesel fuel at $3.70 and a tenth of a cent to 23.7 cents of a cent higher. That's heating oil and gasoline on the RBOB, up 13 cents a gallon at $3.28 and 3 tenths of a cent for the day. Crude oil, either S&P 500 now at 4,430. That's up 37 points thereabouts. The Dow Jones Industrial Average around 235 points higher at 34,370. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. Jackie Vakes of Total Farm Marketing, that's at totalfarmmarketing.com, out of Hollister, Missouri, now joins us to take a look at what's been happening in the marketplace. Hey, Jackie, thank you for being with us.
Hi, Todd.
Tell me about the support and resistance levels this week.
Well, we've had a few changes. May, 636 and 843, July, 720 and 888, and December, 715 and 766. And we have to remember these are off of a monthly continuous chart. Beans, May 1626, 1759, July 1616, 1741, and November remained the same, 1387, 1555. April gold, 1892 and 2112. The Dow Jones stayed the same at 32811 and 36953. US dollar moved up 99.50 and 102.98. Bitcoin for April, wow, what a wild ride that thing is. Now support is at 33,081 and resistance is at 41,665. So, you know, that's a rough market. I don't think I'd want to be in it, to be honest with you. But anyway, manage money, Todd. We've got, remember last week when we talked about this, we were talking about how Manage Money had really changed their bets over to wheat, and that they were they had moved away from corn and beans a bit. And now this week, we have them long 38,000 wheat compared to 44,000 last week. Corn, 378 compared to 368 last week. Beans, 172 compared to 156. Soy meal stayed the same, 101 versus 101, and soy oil, 82 versus 79. So you can see that Manage Money has moved. It's not that they've really quit on wheat in any way, shape, or form, but they have added to corn, they've added to beans, and they've added to bean oil. And so we have to keep a very close eye on these guys. I'm going to date myself now. I'm going to danger, 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 Will Robinson. And if you've ever, that was never a good omen, let's put it that way. And so the one thing that I want to make sure everybody's thinking about is that managed money is now holding a huge portion of open interest. And just remember, managed money only cares about making money, whether it's to the upside or the downside. It doesn't make them any difference. And so you better, stay in touch and really evaluate where you are in this marketplace, because I think in the long term we're okay, but boy, they could make it brutal in the short term. There's no question about that.
Speaking of staying in touch, what does the export picture for commodities look like at the moment?
Well, we're struggling along here. Wheat exports 18% behind compared to 17 last week. They need to average 12.4 million bushels. Corn 16% behind compared to 16% behind last week, 44.7 million bushels, and soybeans 18% behind versus 19, and they have to average 20.1 million bushels. And so, wheat is under the gun, of course, to get things done. And all of these averages would only get us to where the USDA is projecting us to be. And so, it's going to be pretty interesting these next weeks until we get. Well, we get through the harvest, and then we, of course, get into corn and beans.
USDA in its WASD last week lowered the feed and residual by 25 million bushels, but increased ethanol production by 25 million bushels. What do you think of those numbers? And maybe we ought to go through that with you, too.
Well, I think when you look at the big picture, I mean, it was a trade-off is all it was. In other words, I could see 25 million down on feed, primarily because of the costs that we see associated with this. So we're going to see more animals out on pasture if there's pasture available. Ethanol production, why wouldn't you? I mean, the economy is moving, everything's moving, the roads are packed. And so I didn't really have any major problems with it. I was a little disappointed in the fact that they didn't raise corn exports, but that's something that will probably. They're always very conservative about the way they do things. They did raise the average price from $5.65 to $5.80. Bean-wise, you looked at the overall beans. Well, we went down. We're almost to where we were back in 2021. We went from $2.85 down to $2.60. Okay, so 25 million basically, and. That's not a big deal. It puts us at 5.8% stocks to use ratio. They didn't change the price at all. So I think the question there, Todd, is just how many acres are we really going to get in beans? And not that they're going to project that necessarily, but at the same time, they have to think about it when you look at the acreage numbers and the potential for change in the production levels. And so when it comes to wheat, wheat is wheat is wheat. There's just no two ways about it. I think that, when you compare us to last year, we're lower. Price went up by a dime. The big things that a lot of us were watching were Argentina and Brazil numbers, and we did see the corn number in Brazil go up and the corn number in Argentina stay the same. Brazil's bean number went down, but it came down to 125. The CONAB came out and I said, I think it was 122.4 is what they're looking at. So the bias would be to say we'll probably see lower numbers coming in the future there too.
Anything about the crop in Brazil at this time?
They're very concerned in Brazil because, they're transitioning now from the wet season to the dry season. Okay, and so they're seeing a lot of changes in the temperature. Temperature right now is 86 to 93 degrees with a relative humidity at 25 to 30. So that's relatively low. So there's a lot of concern because the soil in central Brazil, we all know, it doesn't hold water well. And so they've had low rain, low relative humidity, lots of sunshine. And so the soil is drying up fast. And the thing that the concern is that it started declining already in the second half of March, which is not anything they would normally see. It usually doesn't begin to decline. It usually ends sometime around early May. Let's just put it that way. And so, when you think about the fact that they have 30 to 40% of their Safrinha corn is under these kinds of conditions, if it starts to dry out too soon, that's definitely going to have a negative impact there.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a great day.
You too. That's Jackie Vaik. She's with Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. That's totalfarmmarketing.com. Check us out, by the way, online too at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find our daily agricultural programming to listen to anytime you'd like on demand. And you'll find news and information from the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, University of Illinois Extension, and some things that I think might be worthwhile. Particularly, it's easy to go there and find what the agricultural economist, crop scientist, and animal scientist have been thinking about as of the most recent days. Those are updated most days right there at willag.org, willag.org. Oh, and if you'd prefer to listen to us as a podcast, you can just ask for the Closing Market Report. Search it out in your favorite podcast application or visit our page, willag.org, and hit the podcast tab. Inside there, you'll find the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and the Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast. Each has a subscribe button that works really, really well. Let's check the cash grain situation now with Greg Johnson. He's at Total Grain Marketing. That's Total Grain Marketing, or TGM, here in Champaign, Illinois. Thanks so much for being with us today, Greg. Can you tell me about conditions on the ground today? It's wet.
Very wet, with more rain to come. I guess the good news is some of the private forecasters have lightened or lessened the amounts of rain. I mean, there was some talk about 2.5 to 3 inches of rain at one point, and now I think we're more in the 1 to 2 inch category. So I guess we'll consider that a win. Cooler weather followed by the, you know, after these two or three days of wet weather and cool conditions after that, does not look like we're going to be getting into the field anytime soon, either this week or next week. I guess we'll wait and see, but we're not going to have an early start to the planting season. Maybe we can have an average start, but most farmers are sitting and waiting, ready to go, but can't go until Mother Nature gives the okay.
Hey, as you've had conversations with them, how are they doing on getting all their input needs?
I think around here, we did a little bit better maybe than the national average. I think maybe we got 60% of the inputs locked in last winter, before the prices really skyrocketed. I mean, they did pay more, but now they would have to pay a lot more, obviously. So I think that was one reason why we saw the acreage number the way it was. Farmers have just decided that if they did not get their corn inputs locked in, they were not going to pay those extremely high prices. And so we saw a little bit of shift even here in Illinois from corn to beans. So I would say we got probably 60% of the input costs locked in last year at reasonable prices, and the other 1/3 to 40% we're going to have to pay up for those inputs, I'm afraid.
What are farmers asking when they call you this week?
They really want to know, and of course they know we don't know the answer either, but when is the war going to end? How high can this go? Where do prices need to go to ration demand? And that's always a good question, because it feels like the supply is going to be very, somewhat limited. And so we are going to have to find a price level where we start to ration the demand, where we either cut into exports or cut into livestock feeding or cut into ethanol usage. And of course, with the Biden administration announcement of E15, it doesn't look like we're going to be cutting, corn usage for ethanol anytime soon. So we're going to have to either cut out of the export number or cut out of the livestock feed number. With those prices extremely high, we haven't seen that cut back yet. So I guess $7.75 is not rationing demand. So I guess we go to $8 and see if $8 rations the demand.
Is inflation making it harder for analysts and you and others to kind of calculate where that point might be? I know it's a rough guess, but I would think it gets tougher when you have inflation moving as fast as it is.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The core inflation rate is like 8.5%, but I think when you get to commodities and food, it's more like 15 to 20%. So, if you, in the good old days, if you thought $5 or $6 corn would slow things down, now it's going to be more like $6 or $7 corn on the new crop. So maybe $8 old crop corn, $7 new crop corn, which is basically where we're at now. Like I say, we haven't seen that rationing start yet. So, the inflation and the funds pushing, wanting to own stuff because of the inflation is causing prices probably to go higher than what we might have thought otherwise.
You had suggested that freight rates were changing at one point, and that was going to cause some issues. Did it, and will it?
Yes, yes. Those rates take effect May 1, and so all the end users are trying to get their trains placed here in April and get them loaded while the rates are cheaper. So rates, again, that's basically inflation. More costs going up after May 1. So we'll just see continued cost increases, and that will translate into higher prices down the road for the end users.
What do you think of the action in Chicago today?
We really haven't got a lot of new news. The war continues over in Ukraine. It sounds like it's going to be months, not weeks, for this thing to come to a resolution. So that would mean something less planted. And again, I think we talked about this last week. The numbers are all over the place as far as what percentage of Ukraine will get planted. But, you know, 2/3 sounds reasonable to me. But if this continues on, maybe it's something less than that. And, you know, that is a big unknown. And so then you've got the acreage report from last week, and then you've got the wet weather, so, and inflation. So everything still is pointing up, but at some point in time, we will find a price where we will ration demand. We just haven't found it yet.
Thanks for all the information. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with Total Grain Marketing. That's TGM, TotalGrainMarketing.com, right here in Champaign County, Illinois. On this Wednesday, let's check the weather forecast with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hi, Drew. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah. Hopefully it's a good day. We're firing up some thunderstorms down to the south of you, so I don't think you'll be bothered by that, though.
Well, speaking of being bothered, I suspect while they like the precipitation, the folks in the northern plains have been bothered by both the wind and possibly the blizzard that they're getting in April today?
I would think that they are very bothered, and that's probably being very polite about it. Those folks up there have had a long winter, of course, been cold winter, and they've had their periods of snow, but this is probably a little more than they're ready to tolerate. Earlier today, this morning, they had up to 17 inches on the ground from southwest to northeast across North Dakota. It's been snowing all day long in the northern part of the state now, and we're spreading all of this across the border into southeastern Saskatchewan and Manitoba. And the wind is going to start howling even more here later this afternoon into Friday morning, actually. And we're going to see another 6 to 12 inches of snow in northern North Dakota, probably a 6 to 8 inches in southeastern Saskatchewan, and probably 8 to 20 inches in southern Manitoba. And, you know, they had just recently got rid of all the snow, and the flooding that resulted from that was beginning to recede, and they were really getting excited about getting out working in the fields. But this is going to set them back. It'll probably be May 1st before some of these folks are going to be able to get back into the fields. Not just because the snow out there, that'll melt away before too terribly long, but it is going to stay cooler by us. Soil temperatures are going to be poor, and there's going to be just a tremendous amount of moisture on and in the soil. So it's going to be a real frustrating spring for the eastern parts of the Dakotas and Minnesota. Now out to the west, if you recall, there's a really nasty drought that's playing out in Montana and parts of the western Dakotas, and they are actually benefiting from this storm system. They're not getting nearly the excessive amount of snow, and when it melts out there, they're going to have moisture to plant with.
If we could stay in the west for just a bit, please, I would appreciate that. In the southwest, check in on the hard red winter wheat crop for me.
Yeah, it's been just bone dry out there in the southwest plains for weeks, and it's a pretty serious situation. I've been talking to some folks out actually in some of the cotton areas of West Texas, but they have been just telling me how much worse this drought has been so far relative to the 2011 drought, which was really bad. And they're seeing just frequent occurrences of high wind speeds. In fact, we're seeing that all over the plains, and this is so indicative of a serious drought. And you get such a large part of the continent dry, and you start heating it up in the spring, and that air starts to lift, and all the cooler air that's around just rushes in underneath it, and we end up with these wind speeds that are just incredibly high. There's been blowing dust out that way, And the forecast is going to continue to perpetuate these conditions off and on. There's not much precipitation in the pipeline for 10 days in the southwestern plains, including the hard ribbon of wheat areas, as well as West Texas cotton country, which, by the way, they plant cotton in May, so it's not like it's hurting any crop for cotton, at least yet. But at the end of this month, going into early May, we'll start draping a few frontal systems across some of that region, and they'll go temporarily stationary. And when that happens, there will be an opportunity for a little bit more shower and thunderstorm activity. This will not be drought-busting material, but it will at least offer a chance for some of these dry land fields to get an opportunity for a little bit of moisture. We'll have to watch closely, see how significant that will be, but they're going to continue to struggle.
Here in the Midwest, what do you see?
Well, it's the other side of the coin, of course, east of the Mississippi River or near and east. We've got way too much moisture around. We keep getting these big storm systems coming along, producing a lot of moisture. The amount of moisture is probably not all that dramatically great, but the biggest problem there is the fact we keep getting these shots of cooler air coming in behind the rain events, so that the drying rates between storm systems is poor. And so we're just having a real hard time trying to get the ground to firm up. And that's true for the Delta, the Tennessee River Basin, and even parts of the Ohio River Basin. And I don't see this pattern breaking down for a while. We do have at least three shots of cool air coming up over the next 10 days, and some rain, of course, coming with each one. Not necessarily high volume, like I said, but it's going to be the coolness that's going to be the biggest issue.
Let's check in on the wheat crop in Russia.
Yeah, Russia is very similar to the Northern Plains right now as far as the moisture situation, the soil. They've got a lot of snow that's still melting there. They've been melting snow for a little while, and frequent bouts of rain and snow have occurred across the region. That has contributed to the runoff. So their start to the spring planting season is also expected to be a little slow because of all the moisture abundance. And over the next 10 days, they'll see additional waves of snow and rain. Their temperatures will begin to warm up a little bit, but there will be some shots of coolness that'll keep that in check to a certain degree. So a lot of areas dealing with the same issue, it seems like.
And finally, we probably ought to check in again on the corn crop in Mato Grosso, Brazil.
Yeah, there's been some significant drying in the past few weeks across Mato Grosso and neighboring areas of northern Mato Grosso to Sul, as well as southern Goiás. These areas really have seen their topsoil firm up rather notably, and their subsoil is still in good shape. But here it is mid-April, and we are just approaching the reproductive season for a lot of the safrinha crops there. And so that means we've got to put a little bit more moisture back in that topsoil so that we can conserve the subsoil moisture for when the seasonal rains actually end. The way it works in South America is the rainy season ends in April, and the crops will reproduce off of the moisture that's left in the soil during May. And if you get rid of that moisture too early, then the crop ends up suffering with lower yields because of the dryness that occurs during reproduction. So it's really going to become more important that they get some significant rain in the next 2 or 3 weeks. We've got a little system today and tomorrow that will tease them, but they will need to see greater follow-up precipitation.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated and joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.